morning. Good morning. Good morning. Keith kind of stole all that I was going to say, but thank you all for being here. It's just an honor for you to spend your Sunday with us. I personally believe Sunday's the best day of the week. It feels weird when we don't go to church, and last month we were sick for like ever, so we missed a few weeks, and it just didn't feel right not being in the house of the Lord, but really just being with our family here at church. And so if you are just passing through or you need a family, we hope that we can become that for you. And we're thankful for the guests online. And I'm excited for today. We're in part two of a fun series, I think. And just to give you a little background, I'm Emily, as they said. I'm wife to Brandon, and he actually made that video. He doesn't like when we brag on him, but I'm super proud of him for doing that. I'm the mom to two kids. If you see kids running around, they're probably mine. Mo with her high heels and the bright redhead boy, that's mine. I get to be a student pastor with Brandon. We get to hang out with the coolest people at this church. Sorry, but our teens are the best. And I'm a photographer. I founded a ministry through the seasons. I am leading a small group this semester. But mostly, I'm just an instrument of the Lord. And while it has been the craziest ride, because I'm a preacher's kid, for y'all that don't, I'm a PK times two, and I love it. But I've been a pastor's kid my whole life. My daddy, it's actually his birthday today. My daddy's been the pastor at Round Island for 20 years, and so I've always known the Lord, and while it's been so crazy, it's just been an adventure, and I'm just thankful that I get to do it with God and my Jesus, and that's who I get to talk about today. I mean, that's who we talk about every week, but it's specifically on him today. But we're talking about light. The word for 2025 for Discovery Church is light, and when Keith called me, I was like, oh my, because I was seriously in my head, honestly, no offense, Keith, but I was worried he had forgotten about Word of the Year because I hadn't said anything to him yet because of all the treatments and everything. So I was like trying to gear up to talk to him, but probably 2 weeks before the new year even started, Keith called me and he was like, I have the Word of the Year. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I'm so proud of you. What is it? And he said, light. And I said, okay, light, cool, like, I like it. And he said, that's what we're going to preach on, because we need to be the light, and we need the light of Christ to be in us. And I was like, hey, I'm all for it, because I believe that as a church, Discovery Church does have something so special, but we always need to learn to grow. We need to learn to be the light even more. We need to see how we're not the light in some ways, ways we can just be better, and how we can keep Jesus as the center of our lives. And so Keith brought an amazing message last week as an introduction of God being the light. He shared that God never quit making light, and we have to offer him the space to let his light shine through us for him to be seen. And at the end, we had a candlelight service, which was so special, and Mo got to be a part of it. And when we lit it, she looked at me, and she went, Mommy, something so small can make something so nice. And I was like, there's the message. Like, there it is. That's it. And it was just a beautiful moment. And so now we're here to talk about Jesus, the light. And so if you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, we're going to sit in a passage real quick about that you all probably know really well, John 1, 1 through 5. And it'll be on the screen as well. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. As you read, we can dive into this passage a whole lot, and honestly, at first, I kind of thought that's where the Lord would take me, but he took me on a whole different route that I'm so excited to share. But it shows that Jesus has and always will be. And that's so mind-boggling to me. One, y'all have heard me say this. I studied the attributes of God probably two years ago. Yeah, Montana was in the small group with me. And it talked about how God is mysterious. And I get frustrated with that sometimes because I like to know everything, which is very challenging being a Christian, you know. But he's mysterious, and so that's so hard for, he's omnipotent, he's He's sovereign. He's these big things. So it's hard to imagine how Jesus has always been there too, but he has. He was here from the beginning when there was nothing until God spoke it into existence. But then Jesus came to this earth to show out the word of God in living flesh, and his light brought light to all those around. I think it's beautiful how that scripture says that his life literally brought life. We have to remember that when Jesus walked this earth, oh, and I get so jealous because y'all, I'm not a hugger. I know y'all find that probably hard, maybe don't. I'm not. Actually, Brandon is more of a hugger than I am, but I'll hug you. Don't worry. Like, if you come up to me, I'll hug you. But y'all, I just want to sit and hug Jesus. Like, on my darkest times, I'm just like, I just want, you know, when you, like, Brandon is my safe person on this earth. And when I'm struggling and he just wraps me up, I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. But oh my goodness, to hug Jesus. So like when he walked this earth, he hugged and he loved and he was a light. His life brought a light of hope, of joy everywhere he went. And he even echoed that in John chapter 9 before he heals a blind man. In verse 5 it says, while I am here in this world, I am the light of the world. Amen. And to be honest with y'all, I shared this in huddle and some of the people I texted this week that kind of helped me through my message. I really struggled with this. I've known about this message for weeks. And y'all know I'm a planner, I'm a preparer. And I started strong, and then I just stopped. We had our vision workshop, so I was like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, that was my excuse. I'm just going to wait till after my vision workshop, and then I'll prepare my message. And then came this week. And y'all, Keith literally never asked me how I'm doing preparing my message. And this one week, he texted me, and he was like, hey, if you don't got it, like, how's it going? I was like, yeah, it's going. I didn't tell him once that I did not write my message. But y'all, I was struggling so bad. I would just have this urge like, oh, you need to go work. And I'd be like, not yet. I'm not ready yet. And then came Wednesday night at our prayer service, which was amazing. There's 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights right now. You need to be there. But really, you're supposed to take that time for like soul prayer. And I did pray, but I literally stopped and I wrote in my journal, Lord, I'm struggling so bad to write my message for Sunday. And I'm wondering if it's because I struggle to let you be the light of my life. And so then the Lord just, I was running all in my Bible all over the place. And I just kept feeling the tug. And it, because that prayer of realness to God solidified the message that I felt in my heart for the last few weeks as I prepped for this. And so I had these two questions that sat on my heart this week. And I messaged a bunch of people on Monday. Some of y'all may have gotten it. And the questions are, where do you need Jesus as the light of your life right now? And how is Jesus the light of your life right now? Because we have to be able to see him as our light, but still need him as our light in our lives. So I asked these questions, and I can't go in full depth of what everybody said. It was honestly, I wrote them all down and saved them. It was beautiful what some people shared with me. But a lot of people said that they needed Jesus to be their light in their purpose, their marriages, their families, extended family, decision-making, relationships, areas that they need to give over to the Lord, areas that they need to confess and have willingness to do so, friendships that aren't necessarily on the right path, and then their conversations with others. And I feel like all that kind of covers pretty much probably everybody in this room, I dare say. And then they said this, and I copied some of these word for words, how Jesus is the light of their life right now. My future brother-in-law, he wrote this, and it was just beautiful. He said, by reminding me of hope and peace, even in the midst of challenges, he brings clarity through his word, comfort in prayer, and a sense of purpose through opportunities to serve others. Someone else said, right now, he is the light of my life in knowing his truth about me, knowing that his word means more than the darkness of this world. Someone said, in leading my family close together, because he is the light that leads the way. And he is the light of my life by bringing peace in this busy life. He brings me closer to him and to the purpose I feel like he's called me to. And someone said this, well, I'll go ahead and tell y'all, it was Molly. Because y'all will know when you hear it. Sorry, Molly. said, "His goodness continues to remind me that he is consistently stable in any storm and that he has secured me in his hand." Amen. I know, Molly. But then I reflected on my own life. Where do I need him to be the light in my life? And I just wrote, in my mind, when it wanders to the what ifs and listens to the lies of the enemies. In my friendships, when I feel alone or like I couldn't be a good friend. In my family, my little family, that's what I call them, that I'm good enough for them because he has made me specifically for them. And in my calling and purpose to continue walking the path that he has lit before me, not that I try to light before me. You see, Jesus brings light to every situation and circumstance because Jesus brought light to all of the situations we walk through and that he walked through during the Bible's time by his teaching and example. And I can prove that by a scripture that came to me in December. And when I was preparing for this message, I just kept feeling it and kept feeling it. Actually, funny story, I talked to Micah on Wednesday. And I was trying to explain to Micah, and if you know me, if I don't think about what I'm going to say, it's horrible. It really is. Like, stuff just comes out, and it's just bad. And so I was trying to explain to Micah, and I just said something, y'all. I said something so dumb. I know the Word of God has depth, but, like, I just don't feel like there's depth in this verse in this moment. And, y'all, I didn't mean it that way. Like, I really didn't. And poor Micah, he tried to encourage me because he was, you know, he, like, tried to spur me on. And I tried to be like, that's not what I meant. I didn't. God's Word does have depth. I know that. I just meant something completely different. It just went all bad. I literally cried the whole way home. Micah knows all this. I called him and told him. Cried the whole way home. Poor Brandon, he's like, Emily, it's okay, like, you're good, you're fine, like, Micah just, he didn't mean, you know, and I was like, I know, but this is bad, and Brandon was like, you probably need to call Micah, but not tonight while you're crying, you need to call him tomorrow. I said, okay. So, I called Micah, and we talked through it, and he was like, Emily, I know your heart for the Lord, and I was like, I know. I said, well, this is where I feel like I'm going, and he was like, then go with it, Emily. If the Lord is calling you to walk a certain way, then do it. And so that brought me to this passage, and it's Isaiah 9. So if you'll turn to Isaiah 9, I am learning that I love Isaiah because Isaiah just shows how Jesus truly is the Messiah. And chapter 9 is the hope of the Messiah. And if you look in verse 2, it says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." And then if you skip down to verse 6, and we don't have time to go in the whole pass through all of Isaiah 9, but it says, this is probably one of my favorite verses right now, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So I can tell you right now that the hope of the Messiah that was prophesied in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born, 700 years, shows that he was born to be the Messiah. He fulfilled the hope, and he is the light of my life, and he can be the light of your life with these four areas. I felt like when I thought of Jesus being the light, I've just felt heavily on my heart that the best way I can see that he is the light of my life is in the four areas mentioned in that verse. And so he is our wonderful counselor. He is the he guides my life by his light. The promise that Jesus is the wonderful counselor is shown throughout the whole Gospels. He was a friend to all and spoke life to those who would hear. He was wise, sympathetic, empathetic, and available to teach. And his words still teach us to this day through the Word of God. Everyone knows in this room, probably, that knows me, that I love the fact that Jesus, that God is our shepherd, and we're the sheep. I can't go into all that right now. But it says that he guides us along the path. He shows us the green pastures, and he walks beside us through the darkest valleys. As we wonder how to be who we need to for our family, extended family, friends, and so on, he guides us as we see him in his word. And the only way that we can truly do that is in John chapter 15. It says that we have to abide in him. That's also been something that's been on my heart, guys. John chapter 15. We will grow more like him and produce more fruit when we are in him. You can't produce fruit if you're not connected to the vine. You can't, like, you can, I guess, produce fruit when you're connected to the wrong vine. I guess that's a better way to say it. We have to be connected to him. If he is the light, we will become full of light because of him radiating in us. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to dwell with us. And I think that's what we're talking about next week, right? Yeah. So next week's the Holy Spirit, so buckle up for that. But the Holy Spirit came to dwell among us. And as John chapter 1 says, the Holy Spirit, what we just read, the Holy Spirit has always been as well, right? Yep. The Word, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God. The Holy Spirit was embodied through Christ on this earth, then left here on earth to be our helpmate and counselor, as Jesus proclaimed he would in John chapter 16. I don't know if you've read that. Obviously, y'all can tell John's just been real heavy on my heart lately. But the disciples are like, where are you going to go? You know, they're all distraught. And Jesus said, I can't stay here. I can't, because I have to leave the helpmate for you. He was the wonderful counselor and telling them, even though I'm going to be gone, which they didn't understand, it's not going to be bad. The world is going to bring bad circumstances, but I'm still going to be present in your life. He's also the light of our life and being the mighty God. He is our saving light. He did miracles in the time of his walk on earth, and he still does miracles today. Y'all, I'm telling y'all, just go ahead and write the book of John at the top, actually. John 21, 25, y'all, this is one of my, I'm going to be honest, I like Instagram reels, and I love the reels where it's like about the disciples, you know, and John, he's kind of savage. We always talk about Peter, but John, y'all, he disses Peter a lot in some kind of holy way, I don't know, but anyways, John says this verse, and y'all, I love it. John, in John 21, 25, he says, Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain that amount of books that was be written. And y'all, I just felt like that was John being like, mic drop. Like, what else do you need to know? Yep. We wrote four books for you, or four books are going to be written, and there's still so much more we couldn't even write about. That's how much Jesus did in 3 years. We don't even know what he did in the 30 years before that. 3 years. And there's not enough books the world can. I like books. I know Philip does. There's tons of books. We couldn't even have enough books with all he did. He still does miracles to this day. Y'all, I know this. I don't know if y'all know her. Her name's Caroline Taylor. And she goes to West Limestone. I did a podcast interview with her, and she came and spoke. She has spina bifida. They didn't know when they were pregnant that she would have him. When she was born, they found out. She has the most severest type of spina bifida. Shouldn't be able to walk, shouldn't be able to do anything. This girl walks, plays volleyball, lives her life, and honors the Lord and worships. So amazing. But anyways, I asked her a question. I said, Caroline, I said, how are you not mad? I said, how are you not bitter? Because she still struggles. And she looked. I said, how do you know God is going to do good things? Like, how do you do that? And she looked at me and she said, you know, Emily, I don't mean this cocky. She said, but I know I'm a miracle, so why wouldn't I believe he can still do them? And I, y'all, oh, and she didn't say that because she's healed. And some of us need to remember that, because we're good about saying Jesus is a miracle worker when we're healed completely. But what about when we still got to walk with some of it on this earth? Y'all, I've been thinking about it all week. We recorded last Saturday. But we have to believe that. He still does miracles. It wasn't just in Bible times. He is our mighty God in the way that he performs miracles. But then more importantly, he is the mighty God because of how he saves us so graciously. We don't deserve salvation. Yet, we have it. And it was sealed on the cross, but then he rose again. Y'all, when we sang that song, I just looked around the room. And I saw Micah up here and Chelsea, and they were just smiling so big because they were away from the mics in this room. Was just singing with our hands lifted because the grave has no hold. He breathed that. Every time I hear the in All Hail King Jesus and then Live in Hope when it says he breathed that breath, y'all, I just smile. So I get teary-eyed and I smile so big because breath. It's beautiful. When my babies were born, Warren, he didn't cry. When he came out, he didn't cry for a little bit. And y'all, I really don't talk about this much, actually. I was so scared. And actually, I think my mom was taking pictures, and they had the live on it. And in one of the lives, you can hold it down, and you can see me saying, he's not screaming. He's not screaming. But when I heard that scream, when I heard that breath, it's miraculous. Amen. And his breath declared no hold on me, but his love. He is our mighty God because we don't sit in our sin anymore. The veil was torn and the tomb is empty. We can come to him in full confession and ask him to reveal the areas of our life that are not good or need to be given to him, because he sealed the deal with grace and eternity where we have nothing to fear anymore. Amen. Darkness flees before our mighty God in Jesus. We also see that he is the light because he is the everlasting Father. He is the embodied light of God. We are promised eternity with God thanks to Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. He is the Father that is waiting, always waiting. He is the Father that loves no matter what. He is the Father that never leaves and is a good, good Father. In Matthew 28, before the ascension, Jesus shares the great commission to go and tell. He says, y'all probably know this, to go and tell, to make disciples, to baptize. But you know what he says in the very last part that we often don't talk about? He says, I will be with you forever. He makes the promise that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. And y'all would be proud of me, for those that know. I read some Revelation this week. That's a story for another time. But Revelation 22 shares in the promise that Jesus said, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the light as we make decisions because he is our Father, and he is a Father that is not dismissive to his children. I said it, I think, at Freedom Conference, or maybe it was my vision workshop, but he inclines his ear. He protects, he provides, and he loves. And lastly, he is the Prince of Peace because he is my light of peace. Probably the hardest one, right? Am I right? Peace? I'm going to give y'all a little funny before I get deep into it. So this week, as I was studying, I finally got good on Thursday. Y'all, I was working, I was typing away, and I was using my grandma's study Bible. And it says, you know, like it was going through Prince of Peace and all that. I hadn't even told Keith this. I can't look at Rachel or my Vela or Montana or Kim. But I was typing in, and I love words. I don't know if y'all know that, but I love words. I love the definition of words. So I was typing in, it said, he will reign and usher in peace. He will guide us to peace. So I'm like, ooh, I want to know what usher means. Y'all, I type in usher and click. I clicked enter. And usher came up, and y'all, I lost. I sent it to my board, but then I FaceTimed Rachel, and we laughed so hard. And I said, all right, I love you. I'm going to try to finish writing my message. She said, okay, let me know if you look up Shakira next. And I said, oh, so sorry, just a little funny. That's what happens with me, y'all. That is what happens. But anyways, he is my light. Peace. He will reign and usher in peace. And usher does mean he will guide. He will guide us into peace. Jesus promised true peace, a peace that would never compare to what this world is. And one of my life verses is John 14:27. It says, the peace he gives is within the promise of eternal life. He stood in our place. Eternity is filled with peace as hope is restored and we are removed from this broken world. I didn't read it word for word, sorry. But it promises that he leaves true peace with us. Not what this world gives, Y'all, I got Brandon, we remodeled our house, y'all know, and I got a nice big tub. It's so nice. And y'all, I'm not going to lie, I sit in that bathtub, and I feel some good peace when I'm in there because the door's locked so the kids can't come in. And I just am relaxing. Brandon knows if I go take a bath, he said he better keep them kids away, and he knows. But y'all, that ain't nothing compared to the peace that God gives, that Jesus puts in our lives as he is our light. And Molly said it so well on Wednesday too, that while it might not be clear to me, I can still see him so clearly in it. And that's what I want to live too. That even when my circumstances don't make sense, when it's all shifty, I've said it before, y'all, I will look at Brandon and I will say, this cannot be a part of God's plan. I know. Thanks, Brett. But I do. I look at it and I'm like, this is not it. This isn't it. When it doesn't make sense, when it doesn't look clear, I still want to see him so clearly in it. One of my favorite Bible stories is in Luke chapter 10. And it's when Jesus, sorry, I've given y'all a lot of scripture, but y'all, so good. But Luke chapter 10, it's when Jesus goes and sits with Mary and Martha. I read a book on this a couple of years ago. It's called Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World. And Martha is Emily. Martha's running around. She's doing all the things. She's checking the to-do list. She's doing what's custom to the times. You know, she's preparing all this. And y'all, she's over here doing her stuff, and she looks over. She sees Mary over there with Jesus, and she gets all mad, and she goes over there, and she says, Jesus, what I would do. What I do to my mom, actually, a lot of times. Jesus, do you see her? Do you see her sitting there not doing what she's supposed to do right now? Not checking off the list, not doing preparing a meal like we're supposed to do for y'all. Do you see her? And what does Jesus do? He looks at her and he says, Martha, Mary's doing what's right. Mary's sitting at my feet. I will not condemn her. Mary was just sitting in the peace, in the presence, in the light of Jesus, where nothing else mattered but being at his feet. True peace that is really hard in this world. We rest in the peace that even in our worst moments, our busiest days, and our hardest days, he is our light that reminds us of what is to come. I told y'all that I need Jesus to be the light of my life, but it's kind of hard for him to be. And last night I was struggling to go to bed. I was texting Montana and I was like, I'm really struggling. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was reading over my notes and I just felt him saying, but why? And this week, I'm not going to say who, but I talked to someone really important to me when I asked those questions. They actually called me. They were like, I didn't have time to really type it out and I'm kind of struggling with how to say it, so I'm going to call you. I was like, that's fine. And someone I really look up to, someone who is one of the most spiritual people I know in my life that I'm very thankful for. And they said that one of the hardest ways for them to let Jesus be the light of their light is confession. It's hard to confess with God or truly know what to express or confess, especially in leadership. And you know, when I heard them say that, I was like, I wasn't expecting that. And then I felt, I kind of relate to that. Confession. Because we think Jesus will run, right? Or I do. I've known Jesus my whole life, and I still get nervous he's going to run. He hadn't. A lot of y'all know the people closest to me know my struggles, but a lot of times I don't really share what's going on until after I've kind of walked through it. But it is so hard to confess for me. I don't like to disappoint people. I really don't. I don't like to feel like I've hurt someone's feelings. I don't like to offend them. I don't like anything like that. It's hard to confess because I need to remember that he's the light and I am not. I'm not meant to be perfect. I wish I was sometimes, but I'm not. I'm not meant to be the light because His light shines so wonderfully through me as He counsels me and is my mighty God. I should mean nothing to Him, yet He loves me and saves me. My perfect Father that I will forever have, and my Prince of Peace. Because as my circumstances change, He does not. He remains the same. And this person even said to me, you know, as a parent, I'm often thinking about my children. I'll even give Keith. He's often thinking about all y'all. A lot, actually. He thinks about us. And I think about my babies all the time. You know, I'm like a normal mom. We want a break, and then when we're gone, we're like crying and looking at pictures of them because we miss them, you know? I think about them. But even sometimes, my kids aren't on my mind. But I'm always on God's mind. And y'all, that's just hard to fathom. We are on His mind, even as He stands in our place willingly and lovingly. So I started with John 1, verses 1 through 5, and I want to end with it too, where it says, the darkness cannot extinguish it. The Hebrew word for light is or. I looked it up. That's what they said. But it's or. O-H-R. And it means to illuminate or dispel darkness. As I was preparing for this, I have a bunch of resources. I'm not one that uses online resources. I like books and paper stuff, as I shared. And I was looking through all of my materials on light. And I came across one, and it's from this book by the Daily Grace Company, and it's The Promises of God. And there's a poem in there that I wanted to share with you all, and it's going to be on the screen about light and darkness. It promises that His Son will rescue us from the darkness that overwhelms us, whether it is sin, circumstances, or our mind. Jesus brings the light to our life, and Satan cannot fully extinguish it. He might cast a shadow, but the light is still there. It says, in the darkness, searching for the light, fumbling, seeking to take a step, stumbling, the weight of the dark pressing in, the hope of illumination feeling slim. Yet in the dark, I see a light, there in the midst, a man in white. He beckons me to come draw near. Welcome, child, there is nothing to fear. My steps now clear, I move my feet toward the man in white to meet. My gaze is fixed upon His face, His eyes deep, pools full of grace. As I move, the dark presses in, reminding me of my shame and sin. Stay in the dark, there's comfort here. Besides, your sin is far too severe. I do not want to listen to these lies, yet the hope within me dies. The darkness grips my ankle tight, its power too strong, I cannot fight. I collapse upon the hardened floor, defeated, I cannot win this war. I lift my eyes, and what do I see? The man in white coming to me. As He comes, His light grows bright, the darkness fleeing at His sight. He takes my hand and holds on tight. The darkness releases from His might. My child, you are mine to save, to your sin and shame, no longer a slave. My grace has washed your sins away. Here in my light, you will now stay. I have won the war you could not defeat. Your salvation, my child, is now complete. Upon my feet, He helps me stand. Forward we walk, hand in hand. My sin for grace has been exchanged. My life is now forever changed. Love and mercy is all I see, for Jesus Christ has delivered me. In this dark world, I for now reside. But in Christ's light, I will abide. The gospel is my precious light, a witness for Him I will shine bright. Troubles, temptations, come what may, Christ's grace and mercy is here to stay. On the dark days His light has shone, reminding me I'm not alone. even when the world feels grim and the hope of deliverance seems slim. There is a hope that shines within, and I know the darkness cannot win. Jesus has and always will be. He was here in the beginning and will reign forevermore. His life brings light to darkness. Even when it seems like it's overshadowing him, it's not. So what darkness are you letting defeat you today? Are you going to let him expose the darkness so that his light can shine through you? And as I ask the others, and what I've asked myself, is how is Jesus the light in my life right now? And where do I need him to be the light? Prayer team, I'm going to ask you to come forward. We're about to enter a time of worship. And this is between you and your Savior. It's not about me. It's not about Keith. It's not about anyone in this room but you and Jesus. And I want to challenge you, Brandon and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, that prayer is an always kind of thing. It's not a last resort. There are people all around this room, some of my biggest encouragers and prayer warriors in my life. But you don't have to go to prayer if you're struggling. You don't have to go to prayer if you're hurting, if you're sinning. You can just go to prayer because you need his light to shine even brighter in your life. You can go for prayer just because you need someone to pray for you. When's the last time you let someone pray for you? We often think we can't go up there because we're scared someone's going to think. I do. To be completely honest with y'all, me and Brandon talked about this. I said it's really hard for me to go up there for prayer because I don't want people to think me and Brandon are having marital issues, or that I don't like my kids, or that I'm back in depression. You know, all the things the enemy will say. He'll say, don't go up there. They'll think you shouldn't lead anymore. They shouldn't serve anymore. But y'all, that's baloney. That's just a lie. We need prayer. I need prayer. I'm tired of fighting alone. God did not make us live this life alone. Even when Jesus, he needed rest. He needed time alone. Don't get me wrong. But y'all, he walked with the disciples. He let the women walk behind him with them that he saved. He let Peter hang out with him. He let Judas hang out with him. And they all prayed together, separately. Not when they were hurting, but just to pray. It's time to hang out with your besties. Jesus and your brother or sister in Christ. So I want to encourage you, and if you're not ready today, that's fine. But I do hope the Lord will help you soften your heart to be more open to prayer with other people too, as he is with me. But we're about to sing the song again, I'm thinking, Living Hope. Where it says, the grave has no hold on me and that he is my living hope. And y'all, hope is unwavering. That he is the hope of your life. That he will not waver. And that you will not waver in him. So I'm going to pray and then we'll worship and have some time of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that you are the light of my life, Lord. I thank you that I do not have to do this life alone. I thank you that you are my wonderful counselor, my mighty God, my everlasting Father, my Prince of Peace. That you will let us confess, Lord, that we can confess openly to you. And Lord, when the darkness starts to grab at our ankles, when we fall to the floor feeling like we can't do this, Lord, you hold out your hand and lead us in light, Lord. That while we walk this broken world, your light shines so much brighter. Lord, I thank you for what you have done and what you will do. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, fall down on us. And let us be the light of our lives, of our families, of our friendships, of our jobs, of Athens, of Alabama, of the United States. That we will have your light. And nothing can extinguish it. In Jesus' name. you'll all stand up so we can worship.
Sometimes in a room, in these moments, in these the presence of God, in the presence of family, church, and all the things that are going on right now, I just sense that. By the way, Emily, great job. But I just sense the light of Jesus needs to shine in some hearts. I know that's true for me. Sometimes we can get overwhelmed. I'm not trying to extend anything necessarily or unnecessarily, but necessarily sometimes it's good to extend our thoughts and just the where we are in this moment. So God, I thank you for this moment. That there are people in the room right now, Lord, who are like me just the last couple of days. It's just been me for 2 days, Lord. You know my heart. It's just been yesterday, the day before. It's just trying to, enemy trying to come in, do things. I'm just so grateful, God, that he has no power over me at all. That in Jesus' name, we release all of that to you, God. So for somebody in the room right now, Lord, who may be dealing with fear, maybe some anxiety or depression, maybe some anger and unforgiveness, something that's been unconfessed, they're trying to hide. Lord, I pray you will come in and be their living hope. You will come in right now. They'll release it to you. So God, we sit in your presence. We stand in your presence. We walk in your presence every day. And just as we've been reminded so much today, God, thank you for Jesus, who is the light of our life. We honor you, Father. In his name we pray. Say this almost every week, but just because we're about to dismiss and get ready. By the way, we're getting ready for a baptism. I can't see you because of the lights, but Dalton's family's back here. Dalton Gross is going to be baptized, so the water is decently warm. And if you yourself came today and you just never have been water baptized, you know Jesus as Lord, but you've never, ever taken that step, that necessary step. It's a step. It's a command of Jesus. We want you to know. We'll wait on you. We'll do whatever we have to do. We want you to be able to come and to submit to that burial. We're going to bury the old Dalton today and raise the new one. That's what that's all about. And so we're so grateful for that. And anyway, just want to let you know that. You're welcome to hang out with us for a little bit afterwards as we get ready for that. It'll take us a minute to get some things changed out and ready, but and for him as well and me. So just hang out with us, visit with somebody. If you're a guest with us today, please don't run out. We'd love to get to meet you more and just and get to know you better. God bless you. Y'all have a great Sunday.